Let me ask you a question. Would you say that you are a live wire? Would you say that you are a live wire? When people are around you, they get a charge or are they charged up? Yes? No? You guys are all quiet this morning. Well, Pastor George Whitefield was such a man. It is said of George Whitefield that he was a preacher who was capable of commanding thousands on two continents through the power of his oratory. A figure of the 18th century, George Whitefield was called the marvel of the age by newspapers. It is believed George Whitefield preached at least 18,000 times to perhaps as many as 10 million hearers. Wow. Traveling on his first trip to America on his way to Philadelphia, record audiences would come to hear him speak, often exceeding the population of the towns in which he preached. Crowds were aggressive in spirit, elbowing and shoving one another, even trampling over themselves in order to hear of divine things from the famed Whitefield. Even in all places such as London. In London, it is spoken of the convinced Calvinist that frenzied mobs became spellbound and listened in profound silence as Whitefield took aim at affecting their hearts of being born again or new birth. It is said that Whitefield never pleaded with people to give their lives to Jesus, but he simply announced and dramatized the message. Preaching in Scotland in the small town of Cambuslang, I probably pronounced it wrong, it is said people were in uncontrollable distress like a field of battle. All night could be heard the voices of praise and prayer of 20,000 people. Whitefield was a live wire. Jonathan Edwards, considered America's greatest theologian, was quite the opposite of George Whitefield. His quiet, reserved manner also impacted people as a live wire with the weight of argument. One observer noted he scarcely gestured or even moved, and he made no attempt by the elegance of his style or the beauty of his pictures to gratify the taste and fascinate the imagination. Instead, he convinced with the overwhelming weight of argument and with such intenseness of feeling. Shannon operating the camera would not have to worry about moving the camera back and forth. He would just sit there and stand there and preach. Edward's sermon, justified by faith and a faithful narrative of the surprising work of God, helped fuel the Great Awakening of 1739 to 1741 in America. It was during this time that Edwards preached probably the most famous sermon of his, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. With this sermon, Edwards was cast as an emotional and judgmental revivalist, but the fact is he preached the sermon as matter-of-factly and as dispassionately as any of his other sermons. Both Edwards and Whitefield were intricately instrumental in the Great Awakening in both America and Great Britain. They were contemporaries and fellow workers for the Lord in his fields. They were both live wires for the Lord, but complete polar opposites. Edwards is quoted as saying of Whitefield when he invited Whitefield to preach at his church, "The congregation was extraordinarily melted. Almost the whole assembly being in tears for a great part of the time, including Edwards himself." Are you a live wire for God? Are you a live wire of God? The qualification of a live wire is not one of deep intellectualism or thought, nor one of great speaking skills or ability to entertain or the ability to emote. It's not even having great social standing, control, influence, or even power. All things that our world and society value and consider of great worth. It does not even bear consideration of one's age. Being a live wire is simply to have been with Jesus. Being connected with God in a loving relationship. That's a live wire. Consider this passage, Acts 4:13. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Who was amazed? Who was amazed? The religious leaders, the authorities, the Pharisees, the scribes, the clerics. They were uneducated and untrained men, but they recognized what? They had been with Jesus. What were Peter and John being bold about? They gave witness to the reality of the divine person and power of Jesus. That Jesus was whom he had claimed to be, the Son of God, the Messiah. The religious leaders had arrested Peter and John and assembled an intimidation council to put to silence Peter and John's witness to Jesus. All the rulers, elders, scribes, high priests, all the members of the high priestly class ordered Peter and John to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. Why? Because a crippled, lame man from birth, whom everyone knew and everyone saw, was now walking around leaping and praising God. This was the result of two uneducated, untrained men in the law, in the traditions, in customs, in religious ways of the priesthood, ordered the man to stand up and walk, and he did. Acts 3:6-8. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up, stood, and started to walk, and he entered the temple complex with them, walking and leaping and praising God. That's somebody you're not going to miss. It's like a person who has been colorblind their whole life. Have you ever seen these clips on YouTube? People that have been colorblind their whole life, little boy, and he gets glasses that correct his colorblindness. And it's just like, wow, the world comes alive. This man's world came alive. The testimony of Peter and John. Though you killed Jesus, he rose and still lives today. We know because we have seen him and we've been with him and now we are intercessors for him. Nothing can stop us from preaching this good news. Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. They couldn't help but to talk about what Jesus had done and who Jesus was. Do you think there are a couple of live wires? Absolutely. What happens when you touch a live wire? You get electrocuted. You get lit up. You get charged. Right? When I was a kid, a teenager, and I was on a date at a girl's house. Wasn't Lynette. Wasn't Jackie. I guess I'll confess it now. But we're sitting on the couch and we're watching the Christmas programs. And you know the old Christmas lights? You can still get them at, not Canadian Tire, what's the other place? PV Mart. You can get the old lights that have the old C9s that you can screw in and take them out. I've still got those on my fence. Well, anyways, I'm sitting there and we're watching the program and we're sitting on the couch and the wall's right here and the lights are coming down, draping on the border, come down to the side. And the one particular bulb is missing. So I sat there, and I don't know why I did this. I stuck my finger in the socket. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever done. And I got charged. Never did it again. Peter and John, George Whitfield. These guys could not help but to preach and teach and witness to what they had seen and heard and what was a reality in their life. Are we a live wire for God? Where did this boldness come from for George Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards and Peter and John? Simply, they believed what they had seen and heard of the reality of Jesus Christ. Miraculous changed lives witnessed upon the exercise of faith in Jesus. They simply believed that Jesus was from above. He was from above. Do we believe that Jesus is from above? Do we really believe that Jesus is from above? We can intellectually assent to that. Yeah, I can agree with that. But is it in your heart of hearts that Jesus is from above? Does it reflect in who you are? Does it reflect in what you do? Does it reflect in how we pray? Does it? Is our prayer more of a hope? Or is our prayer in the power and authority because Jesus bled on the cross and because all authority is in Him that we intercede on His behalf and we know what is right, so Jesus, I'm going to pray that You would do that. That You'll take care of that. That as it is in Scripture, as it will be today. I've struggled with that. Some of you, I know, have struggled with that. Why does it not seem that Jesus answers my prayer? Well, we talked about that. The answer is yes, no, and maybe not yet. But are we praying in the power and the authority of Jesus? Are we hoping? Are we rubbing the magic lamp? Or, better yet, do we have a live wire life in Christ? Do we believe that what the Bible professes about Jesus, that He is God, that He is divine God-man, who came to save man from death and hell, being redeemed unto a heavenly loving Father through the sacrifice of His only Son on a cross? Who did not just stay dead, but rose from the grave, and who now sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for those who would believe upon Him. Who healed the sick, the lame, those who are out of their minds, to have eternal health and peace in Him, through Him, and because of Him. Do I believe that Jesus is from above? By whose name do I live my life? Is it mine? Or is it Jesus? Jesus' own word says this in John 8:23. You are from below, He told them. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. What do we believe about Jesus? Peter and John were unequivocal about their answer before the intimidating gathering of religious force. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. Amen. John the Baptist says further to his own disciples as Jesus begins his ministry to the people in John 3:31, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth is earthly and speaks in earthly terms. The one who comes from heaven is above all. Why did John say these words? Because his disciples were worried that Jesus was going to baptize more people than John. That he was taking away his fame. That maybe they'd be out of a job. But John says, we must become less so that He becomes more. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about the one from above who is above all. Our responsibility is to point the world to the fact that Jesus is from above and is above all. After all, only good and perfect gifts are from above, according to James 1:17. Would you not agree? Jesus was the only one without sin, meaning He is the only one that is, has been, and ever will be perfect. You agree with that? And the fact that the world itself testifies to the goodness of Jesus cements the fact Jesus is from above and is above all because He is the only one who is perfect and good. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. John 10:30. The Father and I are one. Who said that? Jesus. Mark 10:18. Why do you call me good? Jesus asked him. No one is good but one, God. And if God the Father and I are one, as God the Father and the Spirit are one, and we are God, therefore God is, Jesus is what? Good. All the time. All the time, Jesus is good. Being convinced that Jesus is from above and is above all is perfect and perfectly good. What should our reaction as a believer and follower be to Him? What should our action be? Unstoppable lips, persistent profession, unmistakable boldness, unshakable power, a live wire. Should we be a live wire? Are we a live wire? In his book, Hearing God, Dallas Willard defines an intercessor as this: an intercessor as one who is in such vital contact with God and with his fellow men that he is like a live wire closing the gap between the saving power of God and the sinful men who have been cut off from that power. An intercessor is the contacting link between the source of power, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the objects needing that power and life. Read that. Are we an intercessor for God? Are we a live wire for God? A live wire is the contact link with a power source. Who is the power source for our lives? God the Father, through God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you and I are connected to Jesus. Are we connected to Jesus so much so that we provide the contact point needed in order that men and women are introduced to the power and life of God that they are so in desperate need of? Are we that live wire? Peter and John were intercessors, contact points for Christ, for God the Father and the kingdom. Are we a live wire that introduces people to the power and life they so desperately need in Jesus? Every person who authentically declares and lives Jesus as Lord and believes upon Him for their salvation is a live wire, is an intercessor for Christ, an ambassador for the one from above, and is thus known as being born again or born from above. Being one born from above or born again is one who is connected through faith to the power source of life through belief and belonging in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A live wire is an intercessor of God, is one who has been born again in the power and life of Jesus Christ. Have I been born again? Am I born from above? Have we assumed? Have we invoked? Have we exercised the position with its power, with its authority, with its benefits? We are co-heirs with Christ if we are a child of Christ, Romans 8:17. We have been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions over power and power over the enemy, Satan, and his angels, Luke 10:19. Have you the power and authority to heal, given by Jesus and commanded by Jesus, Luke 10:9, to evidence the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is near? Are we living in step with the Spirit, being born from above, purposed to be a live wire intercessor for Christ Jesus and the kingdom of God? Have we been truly saved? An interesting conversation happens between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a teacher, a religious ruler of the Jews. Coming at night so that he might secretly meet with Jesus, Nicodemus affirms that he believes Jesus is a teacher from God, because no one else could possibly do the things that you do. But Nicodemus stops short of believing and declaring that Jesus is God, the coming Messiah. Jesus cuts to the chase and says to Nicodemus, basically, no one can enter the kingdom of God who lives in the flesh, denying the miracles they have seen from his hand and have eternal life. One must be born again from above, believing in the divine person of Jesus Christ, being the Son of God. Conversation goes like this. I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But how can anyone be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked him. Can he enter the mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. John, speaking to us, says this, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who's from the earth is earthly and speaks in earthly terms. The one who comes from heaven is above all. For one to be saved from hell and eternal separation from Christ, One needs to be born again from above. This is called redemption. One needs to be redeemed because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God because of the curse of sin and death. The first Adam died, so we all have died. The second Adam died and arose so that we might all arise from sin and death, but only if we are born again from above. The kingdom of God is only possible for those who have believed upon and received freely the grace of God in and through Jesus Christ the Son. Why? Because we are dead to God without Christ. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and did not trust Him, they cut themselves and all of humanity off from the realm of the Spirit. Thus all became dead in relation to the realm of the Spirit. One must be born both of water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So then, what is life? Again, I'll quote Dallas Willard. He defines life: life is power to act and respond in specific kinds of relations. Life is power to act and respond in specific kinds of relations. He uses the example of a cabbage. I know, cabbage? You really? Yeah. A cabbage cannot play with a ball like a dog. It does not have that kind of life in it. Though it is alive as a cabbage, it is dead to the realm of play. Just as a dog can make no response to dividing numbers or poetry, it is dead to the realms of arithmetic and literature. A live cabbage, though dead to one realm of play, it is yet alive in another realm, that of soil and sun and rain. Human beings were once alive to God. We were created to be responsive to and interact with Him as Adam and Eve did. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed and mistrusted God, they cut themselves off and essentially all of humanity from the realm of the Spirit. As God said of the forbidden tree, in the day you eat of it, you shall die. Genesis 2:17. So we human beings are dead to the realm of the Spirit. Though biologically we are alive, yet we are dead, unresponsive to and uninteractive to God and His kingdom. Thus, by God's grace, by His drawing, we have been given the gift of eternal life to be redeemed through the perfect birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, the Son of God. Through faith in Him, we are born again from above into the realm of the Spirit and have life in the kingdom of God, the power to act and respond to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Before that, we could not respond to God in any of that realm. Romans 8, 1-2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because though Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. So what's the requirement of a live wire? One, to be born of both water and Spirit, and to live in the spiritual realm, not of and in the fleshly realm. What is the fleshly realm? The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 5, 19-21, that there are things such as fornication, impurity, licentiousness, but also jealousy, anger, quarrels, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the things of the like. Things of the Spirit or of the realm of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul says further in Romans 8:5 that those who are living of the end of the flesh set their minds on the flesh, but those of the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. What is my mind on? Of which realm is a live wire to be? To be in the spirit realm. But yet, because of our born sinful nature, even the best of Christ, those redeemed, can be mired by that of the fleshly realm. The Apostle Paul speaks of this reality when he expounds upon every person's inner quarrel with the fleshly realm of sin. In doing what we do not want to do, and not doing what we should do. It's the do scripture passage. Romans 7:15-20. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it's good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh, for the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin that lives in me. The do passage. The only way that one can live as a live wire of Jesus is to be born again from above. On our own, we are mired in flesh, which leads to death. Only by believing upon Jesus, belonging to Jesus, and being blessed by Jesus with the Holy Spirit, can we live the way of Jesus. Thus, we become a connecting point. Are we a connecting point for the life and the power of Jesus to a dark and needy world, lost in sin and death? Are we a connecting point? To be a connecting point of Jesus does not require intelligence or power or money and influence. What being a connecting point for Jesus requires is an active love relationship with Jesus that exercises his authority, his power, his love in a lost world free from living in the flesh. Whatever is born in the flesh will live in the flesh. But those who are born in the Spirit will live in the Spirit. Therefore, one must be born again to be a live wire for Jesus. Are we a live wire for Jesus, or is the connection dead? To push back the darkness of our world, we need to be a live wire intercessor for Jesus. So how can one know that we are a live wire intercessor for Jesus? Well, why don't we check our pulse? Get your spouse to check your pulse. Somebody check your pulse. When is the last time that someone said to you, "You've been with Jesus, haven't you?" You ever met those people? Are they sometimes annoying? Because it's like, I haven't been with Jesus, but you have. I can see it. I can feel it. I know it. But you've been with Jesus, haven't you? That's what the Pharisees, that's what the teachers and scribes said. They saw, they were amazed. They said, they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So there was something about Jesus. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders knew it. And they wanted to protect, they wanted to put that to death. Why? Maybe they lose their place of status, their power, their authority. The people would leave them away. The religious authorities were amazed by Peter and John when they spoke, because they recognized they'd been with Jesus. They were companions of Jesus. I believe the highest praise one could ever receive here on earth is what? You've been with Jesus. Would there be enough evidence to convict us of that charge in a court of law? Or would we just be known as companions of men of the flesh? The Bible instructs each one of us to let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. What's the mind of Jesus? He didn't regard equality with God something to be exploited. or taken advantage of. He emptied himself of being God, instead became a slave to the will of his Father. He therefore humbled himself to be something less than what he was. When is the last time we humbled ourselves to be and do what that which was less of us in order to serve God or the better good, or in order to connect people with the power and love of God? When have we put ourselves, our needs, our wants, our goals, our objectives to death in order to benefit another? To be a benefit to God and the kingdom in order to connect people with the love and power of Christ? We cannot be a connecting point for the kingdom of God if we are living for ourselves and the fleshly things of this world. What was the mind of Christ in the encounter with Peter, John, and the lame beggar? Jesus commanded his disciples to go out with his power and his authority and make disciples, heal, exorcise, baptize, and teach the kingdom of God. Not exercise. Exorcise. Exorcism. There you go. Lack of a better term. Matthew 28:18-20, then Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Summoning his 12 disciples, Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits, to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. And is this same command the mind of Christ for believers and followers of Jesus today? Is he from above? Yes. And it's called the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18, everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he's committed the message of reconciliation to us. We are the connecting point. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When is the last time that I have appealed to a brother or sister, a spouse, a neighbor, a co-worker, or a stranger to be reconciled to God? When was the last time you said to Jesus, let me be a contact point for the lost and needy for you today? Are we born from above? Are we born of both water and spirit? Or is Christianity just a social activity, a religious exercise to make us feel good about ourselves? Jesus says, he who is not about his Father's business is not of the Father. Luke 2:49. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you know that I must be about my Father's business? John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Therefore, what are the qualifications? In terms of measurement and business of a live wire. One, we live with Christ. Two, one is born from above or born again. Three, one is about the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. Four, we live in the realm of the Spirit, not the realm of the flesh. And five, we empty ourselves of fleshly things. Instead, humble ourselves with spiritual things. We have the mind of Christ. Many of you know where I was last week. I was away hunting. I had a hunting trip, and in the fleshly realm, I was unsuccessful. Because I did not come home with a trophy to put in my freezer. Though I did choose not to pull the trigger. But in the spirit realm, I was a contact point for Jesus in the kingdom of God. If we believed upon Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have been given the Spirit of life to be a live wire intercessor for God and His kingdom. We have been given the ability, the tools, and the knowledge. But the question is, do we have the will to obey the command of our Lord and Savior to love the world as He has loved us? Laying down our lives so as to give life to another as a connecting point for the gospel of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Those who know and love Jesus are willing connecting wires for the love of Jesus. Are we a connecting wire for and to Jesus and the kingdom of God? Kingdom citizens are connecting wires to Jesus and the kingdom. We are kingdom citizens. We are not just living on the earth. If we have made Jesus our Lord and Savior, the Spirit has come into us. We are from now, from above. We are born again, and as a result, we are kingdom citizens on this earth. And we have a responsibility to point to Jesus, to be connecting points. Doesn't matter what level of intelligence, influence, power, ability, or talent that we have. God simply needs what? One who is willing to be a connecting wire for Him. Whether it's George Whitefield or Jonathan Edwards or John, Paul, Ringo, or Shannon. If we indeed been born from above, we are equipped to live as citizens of the kingdom of above and invite others to do so as well through the power and life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, might I confess that at most and best of times, I'm not always that connecting wire for You. I'm more interested in living in the flesh. I'm more interested in feeding my flesh. I want to be in control. And as a result, my connection is dead. Father, maybe our time with You is nowhere near where it should be. Maybe it's non-existent. Maybe our Bible has been a long time since we lifted it up, opened it, and read it for any substantial sense of time. Maybe our prayer life consists of just praying at the table, thanking You for Your food. Lord, would You forgive us for that? Maybe my life has been dreary. It seems sluggish. Lord, would You point to that place? Point to that thing? Holy Spirit, show us what's missing. Maybe what we're focused on for living in the flesh. Maybe we need to rededicate ourselves to You. Maybe we become very comfortable with religiosity. We know that You're not so much interested in our comfort, but You're interested in our health. Kyle Edelman said that yesterday. And Father, I want to agree with that. Maybe we can agree with that today. But Lord, where we've fallen short, You promise to forgive and You promise to restore. And Father, if that's me this morning, that's us. take that time to confess that to you, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for our sins, for we've fallen short. Forgive me for anger. Maybe we need forgiveness for a wandering eye. Maybe something's become the idol instead of you. Father, we simply come to you and ask for your forgiveness. And you wash us clean as snow. We agree with you that it's wrong. And would you fill us once again with your Spirit? Would you move us? Would you encourage us? Would you walk with us? As we walk with you, and make us that live wire intercessor for you, that connecting point for a lost world that need your power, need your life. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.